Hello and welcome to the Wild Wormhole, where much like the card, you never know what you're gonna get. I'm your host, D-House, here with some stank face, ugly, can't sell shoes, Georgia.
Here you go.
Georgia backwoods boy.
Sweet tea drinking.
Sweet tea drinking, ugly.
Stank tooth, goofy looking. Get it all out.
Trash keyboards in all games in general. The one and only Jeremiah Dixon, also known as Jay.
I will go with I am the one and only. I am.
This is such an honor, man. I've recorded with Jim. I've recorded with Mike, and now look at us recording together again.
The honor is yours. I will say, the honor is yours.
We need to take a minute and talk about that crap episode that you and Mike released without me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like it's important for me to continue to make public statements that I didn't endorse that or approve of it. Wow, such a cool card. This reprint.
Look, we didn't play AOA. If we're going to be honest, Keyforge took the biggest dip in anything when AOA came out because it was trash. So you can't blame me for not knowing all those cards.
Yeah.
It wasn't trash. It was just, it brought new stuff, but it didn't bring exciting things to the game. So I just feel like it was just more it was just more of the same, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
So I think it just kind of took, but with this new set, it's reinvigorated completely.
Totally agree. I was listening to the Covenant cast and they were kind of talking about, Zach Bunn was talking about, Age of Ascension just felt like the same set, just a bunch of the same stuff. Like there wasn't anything new or fresh or like exciting really. I mean,
you start with a bang, like Coda, it's just like, I feel like the interesting stuff was in that set and not in the second set.
Yeah. And I'm still shocked they didn't, release new houses in that second set. But again, the game's new, so I guess they're just trying to figure it out. But it does feel like they have corrected their approach or philosophy or whatever with Worlds Collide. There's definitely a buzz in the air. I will say, too, shout out to the Crucible Online developers. They released the entire set on the same day the actual set release, which you're the programmer, so you could probably speak more to it, but that just seems like a ton of work that they basically do for free.
Absolutely, absolutely. Congrats to them, which I don't know how many people they have working on it exactly. I think it's a few, but still, like, that's absolutely an accomplishment for sure, because I'm a games programmer, so I know. Which I think that, like, I will say it's a little bit easier now because they have the infrastructure built and everything. So, like, they have classes for cards already implemented and everything. So it's easier to add new stuff at this point. But still, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I also think, like, some of the reason I think Keyforge took a dip with Age of Ascension is because, honestly, it just took so long to get online that it was hard. Yeah. If you didn't have a regular meetup or whatever, like, especially around here, I mean, we were playing in coffee shops, but there wasn't really anything going on. But then getting close to Worlds Collide, it's like, now we've got weekly chain bounds and people, their interest in the game just kind of reinvigorated.
And like, if an app, because I've been playing the Crucible a lot the last few days, if there is an app, and I've been playing Hearthstone a lot in the last 2 weeks, if there was an app for Keyforge, it would be banger. Oh, it would bring so many people in. Like, I think even if it got, like, if they marketed it correctly, it could bring in the Hearthstone players. It could bring in people that play Eternal, which is another, like, card game that's an app. It would bring in people that play Magic the Arena, all that stuff. I think it would be huge for Keyforge.
Yep. I think the key there, personally, is don't have in-app purchases. At least don't make playing the physical game obsolete like other games. Like Warhammer Champions, I played that a bunch. And but people just stopped playing because or stop didn't buy it because it's like you could earn everything on the app basically for free. So
yeah.
I think if they do that, it's like you got to own the deck. I don't know.
That's how it should be anyway, right?
Yeah.
And don't make it loot boxy. Don't make it where you can buy like 15 decks online and that aren't like physical cards. That would be cheeseball.
It's sort of like FFG just needs to know, like, if they do that, they won't make money on the app necessarily, but they'll make more money on the physical game because the app exists.
Right.
Which is it feels risky, but at the same time, it's like, I think the entire community is behind that.
Agreed.
But, well, that's great. What's been cool is, with Worlds Collide releasing and just general buzz around the game, literally, like, the last couple weeks, I have either personally taught or known of, like, a brand new player being taught how to play Keyforge at least once a week for, like, the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, guys at work, guys, like, just friends of friends kind of a thing. I've been giving away decks like crazy, just, yeah.
And it seems like they're actually putting in a lot of effort into Keyforge, unlike FFG does. Like, they're doing the cash prizes. And I think as soon as they dropped the new set, like, announced it and announced the Vault Warrior stuff, I think a lot more people got back into playing more consistently, which is really good, and it's good for the health of the game. And I think they did a good job with that. They had a miss with AOA, but it's definitely on an upslope right now, it feels like.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we jump into, like, all the Worlds Collide, you and I both played in some bigger
tournaments
in the last couple of weeks. I played in a Prime Championship in Louisville, Kentucky, and you played in a Store Championship. Out in
some chain bounds, all that kind of stuff, all the way down here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about your Store Champ, and then I'll talk about my Prime a little bit.
All right. So my Store Champ, I did horrible.
Where was it?
One cool thing that came out of it is I got to meet Zach Armstrong, and he's a totally awesome dude.
Yeah.
He lives in Athens. Unfortunately, that's like a 50-minute drive from my game store, so he's not able to come consistently. He just came out for the Store Championship, but it would be awesome if we lived closer together. But he's doing an awesome job in Athens at bringing people in to play the game. He's been working really hard to kind of start a community out there. And he's been bringing in, like, a person, at least one person every couple weeks, and just getting a really good, solid community out there. So that's kind of cool. He's an awesome dude. He does a lot of Twitter stuff. I know he talks to you. He communicates with you a lot on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. And he ended up going into the top four. But before the Store Championship started, I whooped up on him and beat him in a casual game. So,
when
technically, I made
it
to the top
J.
four. Yep. I'm trash, you know. I played him with the deck that I should have played but didn't play. And it was a Call of the Archons. Or, not Call of the Archons. It was a Worlds Collide deck. But we won't go through that. So, I ended up going 2-3.
How'd you land on the deck you chose to play?
So, I played a deck called Zyxo Acid. Chaos of the first mate's chaos or something like that. I've just picked that one because it's the one that I absolutely have the most reps with, and it felt like my strongest deck that wasn't Worlds Collide. So
wasn't that like your first deck you ever opened?
It was not. It's a horseman deck, so I think it was.
Oh, you spent $2,000 on it.
No. I opened it just normally, just out of like a random deck that I bought. I think it was like my fourth or fifth deck that I ever bought, and got the horseman in it. And it's like a super good deck. So some of the plays are like, you play the Horseman of Pestilence to deal one damage to a bunch of dudes, and then you play the Sanctum card that heals one and gives you an amber for every creature you healed. So like, that's a super strong combo.
Yep.
Plus you have the Horseman of Death that brings your horseman back. Plus, I have Arise, which I can use for my Sanctum guys, because I have a ton of Sanctum guys, or my Disc guys, because I have, like, one of each of the best, like, Disc creatures that's in Coda. So, like, Succubus, Imbramp, Toxin, Shuler. I have all of these awesome Disc creatures, Charette, or Charette, however you guys say it.
I call her so Charlotte. Charlotte?
Okay, sweet. So I have all of these awesome disc creatures with Arise, and I can just bring them all back and do a bunch of nasty stuff.
Yep.
And it's got, like, Doorstep to Heaven. It's got Gateway if I need a board wipe. It's got some really good cards in it and some really good combos. I just didn't do well, unfortunately. And the two decks that I did win against, one was also a Horseman deck from Coda. That pretty much was the same deck as mine. Just
that's so funny because I feel like I never play against Horseman. Like,
yeah, yeah. It was pretty much like a very similar deck to mine. My deck also has like six Mars creatures that are tanky guys with two of the psychic networks. So that's the one that steals an amber for ready Mars guy.
Oh,
so I have
trust me, I'll talk about that in a minute.
I have six Mars dudes, two of the, what's the one card that readies a Mars creature?
Mars First.
It starts with an S. It's like,
oh, Soft Landing. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's Soft Landing. I don't remember. So I have like two of those, so I can usually at least get a couple amber off of at least one psychic network if you don't end up killing my guys.
Yeah.
So I have two psychic networks, six Mars guys, two of the
you
soft
have two
landing
psychic
things.
Networks. That's like my dream Mars deck right there.
It's yeah, like it feels like a really good deck. It just what the problem is. You have to draw cards in the right order, and if you don't, then the deck absolutely falls flat. Mm. So, like,
especially the
all three, yeah, all three games that I lost, I started with like Doorstep, Gateway to Dis, just like the one that heals all my creatures and gives me amber. I started with all my combo cards, and you can't start with those. So
yeah,
it just really falls flat if you don't get the right draw order, unfortunately.
Yep.
It also has an EMP blast, which is so sick against artifact decks.
Oh yeah.
So, and I only have one artifact in that deck, so it doesn't hurt me at all.
Yep.
It's got a Lash of Broken Dreams. That's the only artifact, and it's a really good one.
Yeah.
So none of my games went well, or three of my games didn't go well anyway. But some of the cool combos I played against were all Worlds Collide. I think, yeah. Well, the one that I'm going to talk about was Worlds Collide.
Yeah, because it was at a store championship, you could play Worlds Collide.
Yeah, the day before our store championship, Worlds Collide came out, and since it's a store championship, you were allowed to play it. I asked, and there's no like grace period where you have to wait a week or anything like that. So that was really cool. I'm really disappointed that I didn't play Worlds Collide deck because I have a super good one that I had won a Chainbound event with the night before. I just didn't know if I knew it well enough.
Sure, yeah.
But I should have played it because I feel like it's the better deck anyway. So that was a mistake on my part, which I don't think I would have won anyway because some of the guys there are like hardcore Keyforge and they like go to all the vault tours and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't have won anyway. So one of the cool combos I played against from, one of them's a reprint, the other one is not. So Igor. Igor was an AOA and Worlds Collide, right?
Igor is Age of Ascension.
Yeah, so he had two of these Igors. Play, look at the top three cards of your deck, add one to your hand, discard the others. And he had two of these cards called Code Monkey. What Code Monkey does is you deploy it, and the creature can enter... And so it can enter anywhere, and you archive each neighboring creature, and if those creatures share a house, you gain two amber.
Ooh. Okay.
So what he would do is he would play double Igor, get two cards, discard four. So he cycled through his deck like crazy.
Ooh.
And then he would play a Code Monkey and archive both of those Igors and get two amber. Oh. And then the next turn, he would pick up his archive, double Igor, play the Code Monkey, archive again, and then he would, it was crazy. Get two amber, and draw six cards, discard four, keep two, and then he'd play Igor again, and then like some turns he would have Igors already ready, and he would reap with both of them, then play Code Monkey, so he'd get a net of 4 amber from that archive stuff. It was a really cool combo.
Yeah,
one I was not ready for because I didn't know what Code Monkey even did.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but again, it's like the set's so fresh, I'm still just trying to remember what names of cards are and what they do. So
right.
That would be so stressful playing in a store championship that it's legal in right, like right away.
It was fun though, and I will say like at minimum 50% of the decks for Worlds Collide. I'm not sure. I think a Worlds Collide deck might have won.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think a Worlds Collide deck won the store championship.
That's awesome.
So there you go. That's how my store champ went.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I played X-Wing.
Boo. And you could have played like 4 Keyforge games in 1 X-Wing game.
You're right. The X-Wing game took forever, but I won.
I was
learning how 2.0 works. 2.0 has some pretty cool stuff in it.
Sure.
It does take longer than I remember.
Yeah, I used to play a lot of X-Wing. Once I had a kid, it was like, I have very limited time for gaming, and X-Wing takes too long to set up and play a game.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, great way to play online either, so that was a big deal.
Right.
Would you change your deck if you had to do it again?
Oh, yeah, I would have played the Worlds Collide deck I have.
Nice.
I can talk about that the combos in that deck if you want, because it's so sick. I played it. You watched the videos.
Yeah, let's save it for after talking about this. Let's save it for our Worlds Collide segment.
Okay.
So I had a Prime Championship over at Bluegrass Magic in Louisville.
Oh, sorry. I almost fell asleep there listening to you talk about.
This is your last wormhole. I just need you to know that. This is it.
That's hilarious.
But we had 29 guys from Indianapolis and Louisville and Cincinnati, Lexington. I think maybe some came up from Tennessee. Ton of fun. Jim went there too. We had like 5 guys from Lexington go out. And I finished 3-2 in, I think I finished 13th. Two guys in the top 8 were 3-2, so 7th and 8th place were 3-2, and I was also 3-2, but I was in 13th place. So I like had my fingers crossed, hoping to make the top cut, but alas, I did not.
You were 13th.
Yeah.
Nice. I did better than you. I was 11th.
Okay, but you were.
I was only 3 off. You were in top.
You
8.
Were 2-3. I was 3-2. Jerk. But I played Cartier the Tight Purse. I've talked about it on the show a few times. I've did a sloppy lab work video on YouTube about the deck too, if you really want to learn about it. But it's from Coda. It's actually a deck I got in a sealed event back when the game came out, and I love it. This deck is like my baby. But it's got Dismar Shadows. Similar to you, it's got the Psychic Network Mars package.
Nice.
But in Mars has 2 grabber jammers and a jammer pack. So it tons of like, I'm going to make your keys cost a bunch. It's got 3 Yixley Marauders, which are the 2 power guy. When you play him, you capture one for each friendly ready Mars creature. So even if you're just playing Mars, like sometimes you could play like Psychic Network, you know, steal 2 or 3, then play Yixley Marauder, capture 2 or 3. So they could be up at like, there were times when they had like 8 amber, and
nice.
Like I brought him down to like 0 amber. Like some of it's captured because of the grabber jammer. Some of it was stolen Psychic Network. So just within Mars. But the other funny thing about it is, I've got in Shadows double Miasma.
Nice.
So I can like stall them out. So if they're about to forge and I haven't gotten all my like stuff to make their keys cost more out, I can stall them out. With a couple of Relentless Whispers and like a Shadow Self, because in this I've got 2 Control the Weeks, which is awesome, and a Lash of Broken Dreams with double Ember Imp, Drumble, Snudge, Succubus, and Arise. Actually, one guy I played looked at my deck and he said he looked at the disc package and he's like, that's exactly how I would construct a deck of discs. Like, your house of discs is like what I would build if it was I was choosing what to put in there. I was like,
yeah,
well, thanks. And there's a gateway to disc two. So you could stall them out and make their keys between Lash of Broken Dreams and Double Grabber Jammer and Jammer Pack. Like, there's been multiple games where I get their keys to cost like 12.
Yeah.
And due to like multiple effects. And so they just sit there and, really upset. And then finally they get close to doing it. And then I'll play Drumble. And Drumble's the little two power disc guy that play if your opponent has seven or more amber, capture all of it. So you drop Drumble
nice.
And capture like 12 amber on this guy, and they just go full tilt. Like, there's a couple, like, there are moments I look forward to in this, playing this, when I'm like, they're gonna be so mad when I do this. But but between like the control of the week, two control of the weeks, two ember imps. Actually, one of my favorite plays is I'll have like a bunch of disc guys out. And I'll reap a couple times, and then I will gateway to disc and just kill the board. Just everything's gone.
Yeah.
And then I will arise and pull all my disc creatures back. And beautiful. This puts me up four, like four chains, but honestly, it's worth it because so the board's clear, and then I get all my guys back, and then I drop Drumble to capture all the amber.
Yeah.
And they have nothing on the board to, like, fight the Drumble, so it might take them a couple turns. And then because I captured all of it, I also have the Terror, and I can play the Terror when your opponent has no amber, you gain two.
Beautiful.
So you capture all of it, then you play the Terror, and you, like, burst it up, and you can kind of, like, just kind of get ahead that way. It's so much fun. I have so much fun playing this deck.
Yeah.
One of my losses was to Jim. From
D House. Come on.
But get this. We went to time. We're both at two keys and five amber. Okay. Because here's the thing, like, he knew my deck so well. This is where I was like,
he's played against it about 47 times.
Yeah, he's played against it so much. He knows everything. Like, he knows the psychic network coming, so he doesn't let any Mars creature live. Like,
yeah.
Like, he knows the things that
respectable.
I can do and what I, you know. So we go to time and we both have one turn, and I had a weird turn where I need to go Mars. I've got Orbital Bombardment, I've got Ammonia Clouds, and I've got Long Fuse Mine. So basically a ton of crap that does a ton of damage, and he's got a giant Sanctum board with two Abed the Grims who have three amber on each of them. So I'm basically nice. Like, okay, I need to kill them. But he also has, like, Abon, the armorsmith that gives everybody an armor, and he's got some other guys. And I don't know what happened, but let's just say math was not my strong suit in school. I did not go into a science, math, any field that requires math, and I just...
You're basically an idiot.
Basically yep. stupid. So I tried to, like... do it all in my head, and we've got like a bunch of people watching, and somehow I did it so I killed all of his Sanctum guys except the Abed the Grims.
Oh my goodness.
Because he put them on the flank specifically because I had Long Fuse Mines, because that's the artifact that does three to each enemy creature not on a flank.
Yeah.
But anyways, I screwed it up, but I still like jumped up to like nine amber to his like four or something like that. Is that right? Yeah. Something like that. Anyways, so I take this long turn, and then it gets to him, and then he just plays Swindle Shadows. And he steals three, goes up three, and beats me by one amber.
Garbage.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And then we sat there trying to figure out the math, and I'm like, oh, I definitely could have killed those Abades, but I'm just...
It was player error?
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah. So I literally sat there, and I was like, I couldn't figure out the order to play certain things, and
you deserved to lose.
Yeah,
you're trash. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about it.
Oh, for sure. I don't deny it. I don't deny it.
I also want to say that the card I was thinking about was Squawker, not Soft Landing.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
sorry.
You're good.
I had to get say that.
So anyway, so my other loss was to Eric Taylor, also known as Justice Blinded. I think in the top 100 on Vault Tours, he's like number 5 or 4 or 5, something like that.
Oh, beautiful. So he's a beast.
He was a great opponent. He had this crazy Age of Ascension Logos deck that like had so much archiving and so much draw. Like, I feel like every turn he had an archives of like four or five after, you know, after already taking up his archives. And it,
so what you're saying, he went to the secondary market after deciding what was the best set of cards to get and was like, all right, I'm buying this for about $50.
I have no idea. But he did.
I'm just kidding.
But my biggest issue is he played Restring Guntas and
brutal.
He didn't quite lock me out, but he got it to the point where like I had a handful of like four Shadows cards, and he had played Binding Irons. He had given me three chains, and then he had this giant board. He probably had like eight or nine creatures. Two of them were Abed the Grims that each captured three, and I've got one creature. And I've got Gateway to Dis, and he'd already given me three chains, and I stared at my Gateway like, do I do this? Do I not? I mean, because I was, he just played Binding Irons the turn before. I was like, crap, yeah, that's going to put me at six chains. And
so much.
I sat there debating it, and I told him, I was like, I can't decide if I want to do this or not. And then I did it. I played. I had to. His board was so far ahead of me. I had to do it. And after the game, he said he probably would have done the same thing too, but it put me so far behind because I had six chains, and then his next turn, he's playing Restring Guntas, he called Shadows. I had four cards, because I had five cards in hand, four of them were Shadows. So basically, for like four turns in a row, I had like one card I could play.
That's the worst.
So it really, like, so it wasn't a total lockout, but it was enough that like he just got ahead. Yeah. I'm like, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah,
but
Restring Guntas is like a top tier card. Absolutely,
gosh, it's insane. I won't miss it. So, in Worlds
Collide, Zach Armstrong at our Star Championship, I had to actually play against him. He played a deck that had three Control of the Week and a Restringus, and it's just like he can lock you out basically for three turns sometimes. Like if he sets it up right,
yeah.
And he has a master plan which he uses to put Restring Guntas to under and then waits till he knows like, all right, this is time I can just absolutely wreck you here,
man,
for three turns.
That'll do it. So yeah, so anyways, but walked away with some cool acrylic blue stun tokens and
nice
a Worlds Collide deck box. I had like little OP from the anomaly card, forget what it is, flying through the wormhole.
Nice. I got to walk away with a chain tracker. So
ooh.
I'm pretty stoked about that.
You're talking about the little card chain trackers, right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, those things.
One of the card ones.
They're so bad. The game genic like actual like chain tracker dials are so much better.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't
even the Vault Tour ones.
Those cards are terrible. When I get chains, I take the little plus one power tokens from the Age of Ascension starters, and I put them on my deck because I know when I go to draw, if I don't put them on my deck, like I'm gonna forget somehow.
You'll forget, yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of the TO at Louisville, Nick Roden, he did a great job. I want to give him a shout out because it was a very efficient tournament. It was fun, casual, but like to the point. And I love he kind of adopted some of what the Vault Tours are doing with Yeti Gaming, where he basically had everyone at the end of your turn put your hand face down on the table and then announce how many cards you're drawing. And so it'd be like, oh, I have three cards. I'm going to end my turn and I'm going to draw three cards and go up to six. And because you have face down, if for some reason they have like a succubus or you have a chain that you forgot and it's still face down, you know, your opponent can catch that, and then you don't get penalized because you can just take that last card that's face down and just put it back on top of your deck.
Right.
Because the official penalty is that they get to look. If you draw too many cards, your opponent gets to look at your hand, pick one, and shuffle it back in your deck.
Wow.
And I will say, so I loved doing that because there were several times, like with my opponents, we would be like, oh, wait. You know, because I have Succubus in my deck, like, wait, no. Draw one less or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was, I played one of my opponents. He was a great guy, but he just didn't go by that. He didn't do it. And I wasn't going to like tell him he had to do it or whatever. It's, you know, it's his choice. But, like, and kind of a crucial point he just quickly drew up when I had Succubus out. I was like, wait, Succubus. He's like, oh, wait. He's like, oh, crap, I have to give you my hand. And I'm like, yeah. Oof. I was like, I felt bad. I'm like, I don't know.
Big oof.
So, which really, like, double sucked for him because I had Control of the Week in my hand. And...
oh man!
So it's like I get to like
God.
Put one away and then look, you know, look at what can I do with Control of the Week. Yeah,
that's brutal.
But it was one of those things where I'm like, this is like a great habit to do with other players to just announce what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, put your hand face down. Like it was good. So
yeah.
So,
all right. There you go.
So
Primes and Stores.
Are you going to any Primes or Store Championships soon?
The Prime at my local game store isn't until February, but Destiny has a store championship in December, so I'll be going to that.
Jay, this is the Wild Wormhole. this ain't no double blanks Jedi Trials, okay?
So, well, cool. No, I just chain bound in the, really cool sealed local leaderboard things that they do.
Yeah,
those will be the only things for a while, probably.
Right on. well, let's jump into it because Worlds Collide came out.
Yeah,
officially,
it did it?
The non-target release.
Wait, what? Worlds Collide came out.
I know, right? It's so crazy.
That could be a joke on two different ways. Either I'm just oblivious, or it feels like it came out 2 months ago because I've had like 12 decks since the last 12 months of Worlds Collide from Target.
In our little like group chat, I felt like every day you went to Target and got a new starter set.
Let's not talk about that. Okay.
No
one needs to hear about the problems I have.
I think your problems are well documented on the internet for your biographers, your memoir, you know.
Great.
About double blanks. So what'd you do for Worlds Collide release day? How'd you celebrate?
I went to a chainbound event, cracked a pack, and won.
Well, that's one way to do it.
And then gave the mat to second place because I already had the Bulwark mat.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely expected to have the like Saurian prize kit, like with the dinosaur playmat.
Yeah, I thought that too. Unfortunately, that ours didn't have that. Yeah, not same. Yet anyway.
Yeah, we were
FFG's same. Just behind, dude. I went to a release event for Marvel Champions with my wife and they still haven't gotten the kit that's supposed to come for the release event. Cuz you get a mat and you get like four promo cards and it still hasn't showed up yet.
Yeah, that's bad.
So whenever that shows up, I'll go get it.
Yeah, but that's not good.
Till then, I have no champions mat. Trash. FFG?
Well, use your Wild Wormhole mat.
I haven't ordered one yet.
Dude, I mean, come on, man.
I know.
Order your... For those who don't know, good old Mike Rudin designed an awesome Wild Wormhole playmat on Inked Gaming. And so Jim and
you
I
should
both
go
went
buy
on
it
and,
right
and
now.
Bought it. It's like...
He gets a whole $1 for everyone that you guys buy. So make him rich. Buy like two of them and then he'll get $2.
It looks sweet though. Like we played
it. It looks
our...
awesome. It's beautiful. I like our logo so much better now than it ever was.
Heck yeah. Jim and I played in our like Worlds Collide sealed.
I'm sorry. Chainbound. Every time you say Jim and I think you're saying Jim and I.
Jim, Braden, and I. Jim and Jay.
Isn't that one of them things for your birthday?
Horoscope?
Yeah. Ain't that a horoscope?
I have no idea, but that sounds like it would be.
Jim and I. All right, sorry. I'm the worst
Jim
to
and
record
I.
with.
And, yeah, because you never slur your words, you good old Southern boy. So anyway, so we played with our wormhole mats, and people were like, "Ooh, that looks good. How do I get one?" I was like, "Well," or they were like, "Give me one," and I was like, "I'm not giving you one. Like I have one job just like you. I'm not just passing these out like candy. Come on now, talk to Jay. Jay's the rich guy."
Oh, whatever. Jim is the rich dude. He's on a vacation. He's at his lake house.
That's
right,
on his yacht. On the yacht at the lake house.
It's hilarious.
Anyways, so we had this sealed event. I did not win it. But we did have 18 guys come out for this, like, random, you know, chain bound, which was the most we've ever had, like, locally. It was pretty awesome. So, again, gave me confidence that this release will actually, like, kind of reinvigorate the local community life. Because it launched our leaderboard, our store-specific leaderboard, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
I got just a truly terrible deck, like really bad, and somehow climbed my way to a 2-2 finish that I felt very like is one of those where like I knew
going 2-2 you felt good because the deck was so
yes,
bad.
Yes, literally. Yeah. That's how I felt. Like I was,
that's respectable.
I was playing Jim and we were both 0-1 to start, and at one point this was like the third round of the game, and I was just like, it's one of those games where, like, I know I'd already lost, like, looking at the board. And I'm like, we're going to have to play this out, and this is going to take forever. I just want to scoop right now because this is miserable.
Yeah.
So I started 0-2 and then submarined my way back up to
I think because I think that's an issue playing sealed. I think all sealed events should probably be the triad version, where you get at least two decks or three decks that you get to choose from, and like your opponent gets to ban one or whatever. Because if you end up with just a garbage deck, it's just like, it's almost not fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think the hard part is like the store has to charge more money to do something like that. But if you do, you know, sealed adaptive short where you get your deck, but then, like you were saying, like you
sit down and
you bid
adaptive.
On you secretly choose which deck you want to play, and then bid chains. Then, I would have liked that way more, in general.
Yeah,
But
then that takes longer, and you know,
it. But like bidding for decks is not that time intensive, you know.
Well, you have to play like at least two games.
No. That's what short means. Short means best of one. So
okay. Yeah. No, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So you just sit, you look at both decks, and then you each secretly decide which deck you want to play, reveal it. If you both choose a different deck, then you just play it out and winner wins. If you choose the same deck, then you bid chains to play that one deck, and it's just best of one.
And then the good thing about that is, like, if you're not good at determining, because, I mean, one thing with Keyforge, like, you can look at a deck and think, all right, it's decent. And then sometimes it's amazing or sometimes it's garbage. So it at least gives you one game that if you play your own deck for the first game, you know after that one game, okay, this one's garbage. I'm always just going to play my opponent's deck if I can.
Yeah. So in this particular tournament, I got a Brobnar deck. Actually, like 85% of the guys got a Brobnar deck.
I was literally about to ask, did your sealed deck have Brobnar or Dis in it?
Yeah, so my buddy Spencer got a display, like, right before the tournament, and all 12 decks had Dis. And then for the sealed, like, 12 of us opened, 12 of the 18 opened a deck with Brobnar in it.
Beautiful.
Which is just, so I was telling you before this, like, it makes me not want to buy, like, single decks right now. Like, I want to buy the deluxe Archon deck. Maybe that's FFG's way of making us spend more money on their game.
Yeah.
buy, like, the deluxe ones, because my starter deck ones were fine. Like, apparently, like, the special, the non, like, single deck boxes are fine. They're not, they don't have this curse of the Dis Brobnar over saturation in North America issue, but. But seriously, I don't know what to do, because like I want to get more Worlds Collide, but I don't want another Brobnar deck, because I bought three from the store and all three had Brobnar. I'm like, this is dumb. Like, because especially in this set, I feel like Brobnar is the worst.
Brobnar is the weak of this set, unfortunately, and that makes me have a sneaking suspicion that they're going to be the next set to be taken out, which kind of stinks because Brobnar is the best. But yeah, it's really weird, right? So there's like, I don't know. One thing is that you have to have a pretty large sample size to determine if it's actually an issue. Because being, like, through computer science, random number generator can literally be anything. So, like, it's not uncommon, especially with three, you're choosing three houses out of seven. So the chances of picking Brobnar for, like, 50 decks in a row isn't actually that unlikely. And then, like, a random number generator, you can, if you ask a human to type, you know, 1,000 different numbers in a row and try to be random, they can't actually do it. Like, if you set somebody that's trying to be random and then an actual random number generator next to each other, you can definitely tell the difference, because humans, even if they're trying to be random, have some kind of a pattern to them. So random number generators can give Brobnar the next 200 decks, even though, so it's not really like an actual issue, right? But it's just a random number generator just picking a bunch of Brobnar.
As the guy who already told you hates math and didn't do great math in school, my gut tells me where there's smoke, there's fire. And I see a lot of smoke right now.
But I will say, did you, I'll ask the question, with this being such a innovative and like fresh new thing, did you not expect this algorithm to at some point have some kind of a bug in it?
Did I expect it to fail? No.
I'm asking, did you expect it to not have a bug? So, like,
well, I think we reveal the bug with King Potato every episode.
You're right. Absolutely. I don't know. I think you can cut it. I think we can cut it a little bit of slack, because, like, they don't have a way to really test printing 100,000 decks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Oh, I have no idea how this game exists. I'm not, there are guys
so
way smarter
than us. So if even the minorest of bug gets through, it's like, you know, being a software developer, I can understand. It's tough. It's hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It sucks if you open a bunch of this or a bunch of Brobnar.
This is fine.
This is actually pretty good. Like, if you open like 20 Brobnar,
right,
then
so,
that sucks.
So Spencer, our friend, like, he opened this box of 12, and then he just sent me all the deck lists from Decks of Keyforge today, and like, I think 75% of them are like 65 SAS and above.
That's
and
awful.
Like, many of them are like, there were at least four or five that were in the 70s and like some in like 75, 76, where I'm like really, really great deck. I look at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, with, but like, if you get the same thing with Brobnar, like, I mean, come on. It's just,
yeah,
it's, like, I got three, so I got three decks from the store. All three have Brobnar. All three are like 54, 53, 55, like, in score. And again, it's not that SAS ratings are the end all be all, but they do reveal a lot about the potential of your deck and the possible problems you'll have.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just don't know what to do, because I want to spend more money, but I don't want to buy the like deluxe stuff and overspend, and I don't know, man.
Well, just wait and see what happens.
I don't, like, can they do anything? Well, it's interesting.
Who knows?
But yeah.
But anyway, Worlds Collide has been awesome. Other than that,
heck yeah. You know, Landon, my neighbor, he hasn't played a ton of Keyforge recently, but he did come and play for the Worlds Collide release, because he just didn't like Age of Ascension, kind of like you. And he played this deck called the Dead-Eyed Count of Ponderwall.
That is an awesome name.
And he had Brobnar, because, of course, he had Brobnar. But he also had Dis and Saurian, and, like, especially the Saurian stuff was, like, insane. Like,
yeah.
Like, just really, really, really powerful. And he had, like he had these plays where what did he have? He had, like, Infernus, with the dino that makes all play effects, like reap effects too. So he could play the Infernus, and then if they didn't kill the Infernus, like he could reap with Infernus and do his effect again.
Beautiful.
And do you know what Infernus does? I guess I should just explain it for those who are new. Infernus has a play effect where you get to purge two cards from a discard pile, and then your opponent loses amber for every bonus amber on that card. So even if it's like just an amber pip, like you could play him and make them lose two. If they have two amber pips on it, it's like even crazier.
Yeah, I had that card played against me several times this weekend.
Yeah, it's a great card, like really, really great card. Yeah. And it sucks because you can't really like play around it either. It's kind of like Ronnie Wristclocks, like you just know it's coming. But then once he's on the board, you don't want to kill him because then if they have like Exhum in their disc house, then they can bring him back and do it again.
Yeah,
and it's just nasty. But anyway, so he went 4-0 with the dinos and definitely the top decks all had Saurian in them. Which is not a surprise, but just...
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just super hyped for this set. This set's been really fun. It's gotten me to play on the Crucible more than I usually do, recording videos, all that kind of stink. So I'm super excited this set. This one really stretched their... Or at least flexed the muscles that they can have with this game. And then... If an app ever drops, it's just going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. That's a good plug for the YouTube channel. We're going to try to get a little bit more content on there. Can't make any promises for how much, but but stuff will be on there. We're going to play a game after this, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, all right. Let's move on to our favorite segment of the show, the King Potato.
This is probably my favorite to play on the show for sure.
Heck yeah. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, King Potato is one of Virtue Garfield's favorite original names that was created by the algorithm for naming decks. And so every week on the show, we get a name of a deck, and then I give it to the other guys, and they have to guess what three houses are in that deck based on the name. So what they're trying to uncover the secrets of the algorithm.
Has anyone won yet?
No. No one's gotten all three. We've got a couple that got
We've gotten two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one has gotten all three houses yet, so... And now with two more houses, I'm like, do I tell you what set it's from?
I think you do.
I think so, too.
I think you definitely... Like, if it's a new set, then yeah.
Okay, so... Are you ready for this week's...
I'm ready. Okay.
So on our Discord channel, we have a King Potato one. There were so many good ones, it's hard to pick. But I'm going to go Echo Spider submitted one. And so this week's King Potato for you, Jay. I chose it just for you because I feel like this is your job title at work.
Sweet.
The Dorky Designer of Greenboro.
Awesome. I love it.
The Dorky Designer.
So this is an old one?
Sorry, no, this is Worlds Collide.
Worlds Collide.
Yep, the Dorky Designer of Greenboro. All
right, so Dorky Designer definitely makes me want to think Logos because they design stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Logos. Greenboro makes me think Untamed, so I'm going to say Untamed.
Okay.
And then Dorky kind of makes me think of Thieves, as like the Ronnie wrist Rockets and all that kind of stuff, too.
Did you just call Ronnie Wrist Rockets?
Or whatever his name was.
Ronnie Wrist Clocks.
There we go. So I'm going to say Shadows, Logos, and Untamed for this one.
All right, Jay. So
let's see.
This deck has Shadows.
Okay, one for one.
It has Untamed.
Two for two.
And has... Drumroll. Star Alliance!
Ah, man.
I feel like Logos and Star Alliance are very close, sort of.
I was so close to finally being the first one to crack the code.
Yep.
Dang it.
But, like, Starlines is, like, the Star Trek and, like, you know, sort of, like, the geekier.
That's definitely thing. The dorky, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely the dorky.
Yeah.
And I can see the Greenboro is obviously untamed.
Yes, for sure.
I could definitely see the design being thieves because they design, like, heists
yeah.
and master plans and stuff.
See, this one was so easy. Like, the algorithm made it so easy
Shut
for you.
Shut up. It definitely sounded like Logos, though, too.
Yeah, no, I probably would have guessed Logos as well, but... There you go. Two for three.
I should have said Star Alliance.
Yep.
Or dorky.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
There you go.
All right. Close. So we're still waiting on our perfect score on the King Potato out there.
That's the closest we've ever been.
Playing
I'll tell
at
you
home.
That.
You know. all right. Well, let's close this thing out. Be sure to follow us on social media. We're very active on Twitter, Wild Wormhole. And check it out on Facebook. You can join our Discord channel. Should be a link in the show notes. But we'd love to chat KeyForge on there. Inked Gaming. If you go to Inked Gaming and just search Wild Wormhole, you can pull up one of Mike's mats. Again, we're not trying to make money. We're just, if you enjoy the show, like, you can check that out. And anything else before our you want to share before I give you our
think that's it.
Flavor
I think
text?
That's it.
All right.
I think we're ready to go.
Well, this week's closing flavor text comes from... I never saw this, but it's from Coda, but on the card Regrowth, which I've played a million times and never read the flavor text, but this is brilliant. On Regrowth, the flavor text says, "Deep in the heart of every bear, one can find another bear."
Dr. Escotera.
Quoting Dr. Escotera. What a...
You know what?
What a
You
gem.
Know what that reminds me of?
Inception?
No. In Nacho Libre, when he's like, "Beneath the clothes, you find a man. Beneath the man, you find his nucleus." Have you never watched Nacho Libre?
I've never watched it, so I'm just going
to
take
you
your
need
word
to
for
watch it. It's hilarious.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. And may all of your wormholes be
wild,
be extraordinarily wild and ostentatious.
I like that closing. I like that. May all your wormholes be wild.
All right.
Perfect.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.